Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 19th. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Are you sure you're good?
Yes.
Not great?
I think I could border great this morning.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, let's see how good great is here. That's interesting. What is the origin of the word blurb?
The word blurb.
Yeah.
Can I phone a friend on this one?
Perhaps.
I don't know where the word blurb would come from.
Okay. I'm going to butcher a couple of names in here. When the book You Are a Bromide was published, the author devised a special dust jacket for some 500 presentation copies to be given away at a bookseller's banquet. Since it was then the custom to have the picture of some woman on the jacket of every novel, he featured a sickly sweet portrait of a young woman and in the accompanying text described her as Miss Belinda Blurb. From this, the unusual dust jacket blow-up of an author and his book came to be known a blurb. There you go. Now you know. It was either that or why do they call cops bobbies in London?
I'll stick with blurb.
I think so. Oh, boy. So, you ready for November 6th yet?
It's election season. I think I'm ready for November 7th.
Well, I figure, yeah. Okay, so everything's kind of locked down by the 5th,
absolutely,
other than those last-minute attack kinds of things. But I hope we don't have too much of that around here this time. But
yeah, we're not seeing it in Arcata for sure. And so,
other jurisdictions? Yeah. Is that your reference?
No. But we have two of our three council positions that are up. Our mayor, Sophia Pereira, and vice mayor, Brett Watson, are the two positions. Both incumbents are running, and they have one challenger, Valerie Rose Campbell. I believe they have finished up their circuit of candidate forums.
Rubber chicken?
Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered if the station ever sponsored one of those, I think I would really, truly give rubber chicken. Have a little button.
You would.
Rubber chicken circuit survivor. just really, everything else is so grim and do something that's more our personality.
Yes. Yeah. I think the candidates enjoyed the debates. I mean, it gives an opportunity to have a little bit more. I mean, they're still brief, but a little bit more in-depth conversation about things, or at least, you hear a range of options or opinions.
Well, if there's only three running for two.
Yeah.
That's a little different dynamic than Ollie Oxcombe free in Eureka.
Yeah, I mean, the first year, and we have seen this, I've talked to city managers up and down the state that have transferred into a true ward system. The first election, I think, is always challenging. The exciting piece is that it does draw out a lot of new interest. People that would have been intimidated to run in the entire city population, consider their district or their ward to be a little less intimidating and choose to run.
Is Arcata ward or is it citywide?
Citywide.
Is there, I've got to show my colors, is there any benefit that you see to a ward system?
In Arcata, I don't see a benefit to the ward system from the standpoint of when I look at the census population, it appears as though our population is spread pretty evenly when you look at income class. We've got certainly dense populations of multifamily housing, but students seem to be spread pretty equally. Ethnicity and age seem to be spread pretty evenly throughout the community. I mean, we have pockets of, neighborhoods, up.
Well, two or three blocks is kind of tough.
Right.
California Street isn't going to be its own separate area.
Yeah.
There's just not enough bodies.
So from the standpoint of representation, to really make sure that each of, the demographics in your community are represented, which I think really was the initial intent of the ward system, when you have large cities and you want to make sure that you've got representation from neighbors that really have differing populations, I don't see that demographic throughout the Arcata neighborhoods.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest concern that I have with the ward system, is you've got a disproportionate representation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they do it on population, but not on voters, or not on...
Sure,
it's a little different.
You can't control who's going to choose to register to vote in a region.
Right, then you get I think if I did the numbers right, based on some of the historical, 200 people are going to be able to elect in one ward a council.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, 200 people, I can get them to show up for a Winnie roast. Right. And we can, you know, they could get me in there, right. You know, which is truly frightening, I think. But my biggest fear is that it puts one neighborhood against another neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're New York City or if you're L.A. or San Francisco, okay, there's tens of thousands of people per.
Right.
I get that one because there are distinct enough differences. Mm-hmm. But in the small little burgs that we have in the neighborhood, really? You want to do battle for that? Because I know the tendency, even though they're not supposed to, is to get into, well, let's talk to the police chief about. Let's talk to Public Works about.
Yeah.
And now it's pothole versus pothole instead of saying, okay, what's the greater good for most?
Mm-hmm.
No, because your primary fiduciary responsibility is to those who elected you.
Is to the ward or to the district.
To do battle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, now maybe it means less activity and less things will be voted on. I don't know if that's good or bad. But it just seems there's a potential that's there that wasn't there before. And I guess that's the frustration.
Yeah. And I've seen a majority of the cities that have recently, because several have recently gone to ward system, many of them are also adopting at least the intent to, once you're elected, to serve the entire community, to try to keep some continuity. And how are you budgeting citywide? You know, if you take something simple like parks, you know, you don't want to have equal parks in every district, because you want to be able to pool resources and have larger regional parks that have greater amenities where you really can come together as a community.
Yeah, better to have two nice ones than five chunky ones.
Right.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the all-knowing Karen Deamer. Now that she knows Blurb.
Yeah, now that I know Blurb, pretty much rounds out my vocabulary.
Oh, well, you guys had a little incident, I guess, was it over the weekend with the statue, or was it on Monday? Did it happen on Monday,
was it reported on Monday?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just another goofball, or do you think that there was something behind it?
I don't presume that there was anything greater behind it. Obviously, the discussion around the McKinley statue and the pending voter ballot initiative has certainly heightened the discussion and the awareness of that statue. We don't, at this point, have any suspects. The police department have been, you know, looking at various cameras of businesses around the plaza. Not so much from, most of those cameras probably don't shine clearly into the center of the plaza, but people coming and going, you know, from
Is it defacing when you take patina off a statue? I mean, one could say it was being cleaned. I mean, if whoever it was stayed there and cleaned it up, I mean, it depends on whether or not you like patina or if you like the shiny original.
Yeah. I mean, I think it doesn't appear as though there's permanent damage we're hopeful of. But that being said, I mean, it doesn't look good if you went to look at the statue right now, because the way that it was just, you know, haphazardly splashed on removed patina from certain areas and not from others. So, I mean, it looks like you just splashed a gallon of paint or a couple gallons of paint on the statue.
So would it make sense to clean it all up?
We're researching that. We've talked to several metal specialists. There is one firm out of San Francisco that we've been able to identify that does do repatina of statues, has some experience of that.
That's why I was wondering which way is it is more cost effective,
right,
to clean it up or to dirty it up?
I don't know if that's exactly the answer. I think it just is a change of the patina.
Okay.
In terms of sort of what the chemical bond is.
Because it is a reaction, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we do have a local guy in Arcata that does patinaing for a living with a local company, Lamps by Hilliard. So he had assisted many years ago. You might recall that the thumb was broken off and stolen, and we had a council member that went onto the dark market. That's probably more dramatic than it actually was, but got it back for us. And then we had this individual help sort of repatina and help match it up. And
Got pretty close.
Yeah, but that was just a small area. I mean, this really covers, you know, I'd say 25% maybe of the statue itself. So we're just waiting on some recommendations. We've had a lot of questions about, you know, would you invest a lot in trying to clean up the patina before the election? You know, the answer to that is we probably just won't get around to it in that time frame anyway. But in truth, there could be value either way. I mean, if the statue is staying after the election, there's certainly value in trying to make it aesthetically pleasing. And if we end up relocating it, if we relocate it in Arcata, again, it would be nice to be aesthetically pleasing.
You still want it to be clean.
Yeah. And if we end up moving it out of the area, if we're really looking at trying to create value to it, then we're going to want a piece that we could sell that would have higher value. So I think in all scenarios, we will look for some option to try to at least have the same patina throughout.
Yeah, I wonder what it would look like all cleaned up.
Yeah. It's a really bright...
Shiny, yeah.
Green. It's not a pleasant color.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the naturalized, oxidized, kind of darker gray patina...
Toned it down.
...is just a much nicer visual. I mean, and I suppose everybody has their opinions, but I would guess that 90% of those that would look at it would say that the new sort of... stripped off patina color is not as a
Is that what the Statue of Liberty would look like? All cleaned up? The big, I mean, I think of green. I've seen it, but only.
You're exactly right.
Distance.
And often you find the little miniatures of the Statue of Liberty and it is a brighter green. It is kind of a similar color to that. Somehow when you see it against the darker gray, it doesn't look as good. Anyway, too much opinion from Karen this morning.
Well, you know, the all-knowing is weighing in.
Let's go back to blurb.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out if it was a pro or a con that did it. Somebody who wanted the statue out or somebody that wanted it there. Drawing attention to interesting stuff.
Yeah, my deepest hope is that we are part of a community that will honor the vote that comes out.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah. He's laughing because I'm stating the obvious, I guess.
Oh boy. What's going on with the bar on the plaza? Has there been any resolution or development on that?
Development, yes. Resolution, no. So we have, since I was here last month, we have gone through the hearing process with the Alcohol Beverage Control. So they brought an administrative hearing judge up here to Humboldt, and they went through 4 days of hearings. They took each of the licenses separately. And then that administrative law judge renders a recommendation, which should be in by the end of this month. And that recommendation goes to the director of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. And then the director renders a decision based on that recommendation. So we should, within, you know, I would assume a month or so, have a decision out of ABC on that.
By Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah, hopefully by the time I'm here next month. But, you know, I don't know how long... the alcohol beverage control will take once they receive the administrative hearings recommendation.
So each license is treated separately, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the judge seemed, for the period of the time that I was there for testimony and then was able to stay at the end of the first hearing, the judge seemed to try to consolidate where he could. Like, he made me come once, recognizing that my testimony would be identical. But in terms of the actual allegations and the buyer sale of drugs at each location, they had the agents testify to those separately.
Because they're separate business entities?
Because they're separate licenses under alcohol beverage control.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Karen, as things evolve in our area, certainly this has been a different year with the legalization. Mm-hmm. I still don't think we're going to know where we are for a couple more. Some are holding on, some aren't. Some are gaining traction, some aren't. We certainly haven't seen the explosion of retail selling marijuana that was concerning for a lot of us. It would just become that, and I think a lot of it is because it's now dispersed throughout the state.
Year to date,
what do you think? Net plus and net minus to the local economy with legalization.
Ooh, on the total local economy, there's got to be somewhere with a better picture of that. Local to Arcata, I'd say at least a neutral. I mean, in terms of the investment that we've seen in a lot of our very deteriorated, rundown industrial sites, you know, the money.
Yeah, boy, didn't that go crazy early on, huh?
Yeah, but the money that we've seen infused into those, so the return for that for local governments on property taxes and on jobs, I think has been tremendous. We saw fourth quarter, and we're just looking at our first quarter, second quarter next week, but we are starting to see dips in some of our sales tax, and so we'll see how that balances out.
Within the range that you were anticipating?
Yeah, I mean, Arcata is not a completely dependent on sales tax type of town. You know, we don't have a lot of the large retail that, you know, are in the county areas or in Eureka, so we don't typically see the fluctuations as some of those communities do. I'd say within the realm of what we expected, but I think a lot of us didn't know, you know, exactly what to expect. The fourth quarter, what we saw initially was we were still seeing a small growth in sales tax, but we were seeing higher-end restaurants that had lower sales tax, lower-end restaurants you were seeing, you know, make up some of that difference. So people were just making choices.
Ratcheting down.
About the money that they had.
You also have been dealing with, in Arcata, the decreased enrollment at Humboldt. Could that be compounding the situation, or could that by itself be the reason for some of the change?
My initial assessment on HSU's enrollment is that at the current levels, it's not affecting the Arcata economy, and that the current demographic of Humboldt, that student really wants to live close to campus. So we haven't seen a decrease in the population of the students that live in Arcata. That initial draw of those reduced students, that housing is going to be vacant in outlying areas that aren't the city of Arcata proper, and those students probably then didn't spend that money in the Arcata proper anyway. So I don't see that as being as large of an effect.
So the McKinleyvilles and Blue Lakes and Eurekas might be where those spots are.
Right. I mean, that's at this level right now of that. And we're starting to see some stabilization to that. We're starting to see increase in transfers coming back into Humboldt. They've made some changes in their transfer policy. When the state of California just a couple years ago implemented the first year of community college for free, it's been very attractive, as it should be, to every student who's 18 years and graduating from high school to do 1 year for free at CR is a fantastic value and opportunity. But then there's a lot of students that would, after that 1 year, of free, would like to transfer into a four-year university. And a lot of universities, including Humboldt, used to have a requirement that you had, I think, 60 units, so basically 2 years. So they've dropped that back to try to accommodate those students that are taking advantage of that first year free.
I wonder why they would even have any. I mean, if you had, say you took 4 or 5 night classes as you were going to school, and now you decided to punch it, so you got 20 units.
Right.
Why not? Why not? I mean, other than attitude.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, historically,
class is a class,
I don't. Right?
Yeah.
So you're sensing that there's a lot of sophomore transfers
that are starting to come back. Yeah. And, you know, actually their graduation rates are going up. Their 4-year, 5-year, 6-year graduation rates are going up. And which is a positive, but
those
also
aren't on the 4-year plan, right? The 6-year.
You know, we have a lot of older students in throughout the entire CSU system, but also at Humboldt. And I mean,
it's like me. I mean, if I ever take those 2 PE classes I need, I would be on the, gosh, what would I be? I'd be on the 40-year plan this year.
They would not want that in their statistical. That would be an outlier. They'd have to throw that out.
Might even have to take a poli-sci class just to shake things up.
Well, I suggest that you do try to finish that up. But.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm hanging out in Arcata so much more.
Which is also a good thing.
Yeah, okay. That was considered a warning note. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Carol.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, I am very much of the opinion that the news item of this month is going to be that direct flight from here. Here being McKinleyville, which really isn't here, but okay, go with me, to Denver. I think that is opening up a floodgate of potential that nobody is really grasping. I don't know what the capacity is. I know we'll be talking with Greg Foster next week and find out a little bit more about that. But, oh, boy, I mean, that just sounds so cool. You for the Midwest and family, me just anybody, you know, anybody trying to get from here to anywhere, you get so congested.
Yeah. And I think the question is twofold. I mean, I think unanimously everybody is thrilled who lives here or who has family trying to get here or colleagues that are trying to get here. So I think from a quality of life perspective, it's huge for the North Coast. The flip side of it or the other side is what will it do for our tourism industry and will it really be able to draw additional folks that have an interest in traveling in the Northwest, and I think there's a lot of us that believe it really will have an impact on that tourism economy, but those will be the numbers that I think will be interesting to see over the first couple of years. Arcata, go ahead.
No, I was wondering, do you know how many seats are the daily seats coming in? I mean, are we talking about 75, or are we talking about a really nice amount?
Yeah, that'll be a great question for Greg. I haven't heard what type of plane that's going to be. I don't know if they've reported that. I mean, it is nice, obviously, any of us that have flown in or out to have the larger planes.
Hopefully it's not a double prop or a single prop. Yeah. You get your Cessna, you get five folks.
Well, you're probably the same way. You've grown up here, so the first flights were 12-seaters when first moved here.
Yeah, and then the banana and you know, all kinds of stuff.
We did have the one jet in and out of the day, So, no, it's an exciting time. You know, Arcata, as we look, we were talking before the break about just transitioning to some degree out of sort of the cash cannabis retail market that we've been in, and some of the replacement for that is tourism. Arcata was fortunate this week to be written up in TripAdvisor as one of the top 15 weekend destinations in California, which we thought was a good honor. And we also launched what's called visitarcata.com. So it's just a one-stop shop website for all restaurants and all lodging and then lots of different types of entertainment and things to do in Arcata and around Arcata.
So you have an IT guy or gal who's...
We actually partnered with the Arcata Chamber of Commerce to get the site off the ground, and then we'll be partnering with them to just continue to maintain it and update. We just wanted one website that had every hotel, had you know every potential lodging, every restaurant, every store that wasn't membership based. You know, a lot of the organizations that promote really either over promote or you know do extra promotion for those that are members or have actually no promotion for particular restaurants or hotels that aren't.
Yeah, or like the Lodging Alliance that is focused on lodging.
Just
only.
Lodging, yeah.
I would think that with that in there and that designation, this Denver market all of a sudden really becomes extraordinarily attractive.
Yeah.
Obviously I'm a little bit more jacked up than a lot of folks are, but I think that's just going to be... I think it opens up potentials that we've never, ever thought of.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those evolving things over 4 or 5 years. And hopefully they'll stay for 4 or 5 years with this route to allow that to kind of mature and really get to the spot where I think a lot of us believe it will go.
Well, and I think this region has stepped up. We've seen an increase in tourism, I think, a lot with the Lonely Planet. You know, we were rated as one of the number one destinations in Lonely Planet this year, too, to come and visit the Redwoods, and have seen increases associated with that as well. And this region has tried to step up in terms of making ourselves available for visitor services in a greater way. And if we continue to do that, I think we can
build.
Well,
did you hear about that tour that Aaron at
Pacific Outfitters
did? Yeah. Royalty? Isn't that cool? I don't know. Did they stop by City Hall?
They didn't stop by Arcata City Hall, but they did touch a couple of things that we know
of. Yeah. How cool is that? Yeah. I mean, those kinds of things are anecdotal, certainly, but they're kind of cool, too. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, you too.
See everybody tomorrow.